If you begin to tap into your body, like if you can learn to listen to your body, you will feel like you're pacing the cage. Like you'll feel that discomfort and know that you're bored. And if you really tune in, you'll feel that like an urge is your desire to get like comfortable. Like most people don't realize is everything you do is based off of an urge. Like at night, have you ever switched positions? Yeah, you do that. Why? Because you have an urge to get comfortable. You were in a position and now it's uncomfortable. You've shifted to that for the urge to get comfortable. When you're bored, you'll feel that urge, and it's really difficult to override it because you're physically uncomfortable and you're going to do anything to get comfortable again. That is a very strong, like, to sit there and think about it and pay attention to yourself is like, wow, this really is difficult. And just to use willpower to override that is just a crazy idea because you can't do that the rest of your life.
Welcome to Successful with ADHD. I'm Brooke Schnittman. Let's get started. Welcome everybody to another episode of Successful with ADHD and talking about all fun things. For those of you who didn't listen to our first episode, I would go check it out. It's about dyslexia and ADHD. Jeff is a fellow ADHDer and has dyslexia. So we talked all about that and his own coping strategies with that. And today we're going to be talking about boredom. So for those of you who don't know who Jeff is, he's an attention coach, an expert on attention issues. He also won the Lifetime Achievement Award at the International ADHD Conference last year in 2022. He's the founder of Dig Coaching Practice and the host and founder of Attention Talk Radio with over a million views or listens. He coaches individuals with ADHD and entrepreneurs, and he helps them with the symptoms to improve their personal and business results. So welcome back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate coming on board. It's always great working with you.
Yeah. So Jeff, you have a lot of information and interesting ideas about boredom and ADHD. So I'm going to leave this to you to teach our audience about what's in your brain.
So one of the topics I like to talk to people with ADHD about is boredom. Most people don't know a lot about boredom. There's actually kind of different kinds of boredom. People with ADHD or research are more susceptible to something called agitated boredom. And it's interesting because the definition of it is really kind of cool. It's the physical discomfort where you're motivated to escape the plight. So put differently, you're so uncomfortable, you'll do anything to get comfortable. When I'm dealing with neurotypicals, a lot of times I'm explaining people with ADHD, they just won't be bored. And they kind of just don't get the concept. And I'll never forget, I was talking to a woman one time. I said, have you ever been cold? She said, yeah. Have you ever been cold where you did something you weren't supposed to do? Yeah, I was in Canada one time. It was 10 below. I broke into somebody's house. So, wow, that's
Whoa,
illegal.
That's...
I know. And that's an extreme, but people with ADHD, when they're uncomfortable, they're going to do anything to get comfortable again. So another story I like to tell to bring this home is I was doing a presentation in Detroit 2014 on this particular topic. And when I was done, this woman came running up to me. Her eyes were like kind of bugged out of her head. She's like, whoa, like, oh my God, I get it. Like what? And she said, I got a phone call from school the other day. And I went in and I'm walking in and all of a sudden me and Johnny are walking in the principal's office and the principal looks at Johnny and says, Johnny, what's going on in class? He goes, I don't know, I was bored. And he goes, well, what happened then? He goes, I don't know, they sent me here. She said, what happens? He stood up and mooned the class. I mean, he was so uncomfortable. He was so bored. He had to do something to get stimulation. And I say this because people with ADHD, they think about what they're doing based off of interest. But the other side of that is boredom. And I talk about boredom is this thing where you're physically uncomfortable. If you go to the zoo and you see the tiger just pacing back and forth in the cage, it's so bored. It's getting so much anxiety. It's just pacing the cage to release that anxiety mm-hmm. in order for it to get comfortable. And if you've got ADHD and you don't realize this, it's kind of like a blind spot because people with ADHD, when they are bored, okay, or they are uncomfortable, that is the time that you're most susceptible to struggle with self-regulation and do something. When I'm coaching somebody and they come in, one of the things I talk about, you know, do you drink? Do you do illegal drugs? Do you smoke? Do you gamble? Do you watch pornography? Do you masturbate? Do you eat chocolate? You on social media? Because I want to know basically what they're self-medicating with. When you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or bored, you're going to migrate towards these more unhealthy habits. And when I'm with people with ADHD, I do a lot of trying to like, okay, you're getting in fights and you're doing different things. Let's just not say you shouldn't do that. Let's manage the boredom as a means to counterbalance these other types of things that you're doing. I even have people, sometimes they're coming to me and they've got weight issues, and I'll ask them a bunch of questions, and they're pretty much eating when they're bored. And rather than try to focus on their attention on losing weight, we pay attention to what their brain will occupy itself with to keep it from being bored, thereby decreasing that urge to escape to something more comfortable.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I would love to know if you see the relationship here. So I just wrote a book, Activate Your ADHD Potential, and I talk about 10 ADHD disruptors. And one of them, it goes from underwhelm to overwhelm and everything in between. So when you say boredom, it reminds me of underwhelm with ADHD. And when you're underwhelmed, you are seeking dopamine and you are looking for an exciting idea to increase that dopamine. And you mentioned sex, drugs, alcohol, chocolate, all of that gives you dopamine. So I'm curious if you would agree that underwhelm also would be...
Yeah, underwhelm would be a state of boredom. It's just another way of saying it. So absolutely.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I think that that's the two things that people with ADHD struggle with: boredom, underwhelm, or overwhelm.
Yep. So if you begin to understand these concepts, you can start to look at things and see some the same situation that's completely different. So where this is really applicable is when you go out into the world, people with ADHD struggle with sleep. I get a lot of people calling me like, Annie, I'm having a hard time getting up in the morning. Well, you're having a hard time getting up in the morning because you're sleep deprived. That's why you're not getting out of bed and you're not going to bed at night. And so when you go out there, most of the world, when it comes to sleep, starts talking about sleep hygiene, right? Mm-hmm. Turn the lights off, no screen time, da, 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 da. I don't find that to be very, doesn't work most of the time. Yeah, because it requires you to self-regulate and you're not really addressing the problem. What I've learned over the years is when you put your head on the pillow, it's supposed to take you 15 minutes to fall asleep. 15 minutes.
Wow.
That's god awful boring for people with ADHD. Now, remember, you're physically uncomfortable when you're bored. You're uncomfortable and you want to escape it. So you escape to something more exciting like your phone. So what happens is, think of it like this. You go towards dopamine or you're pushing away from boredom. So in this situation, you're pushing away from boredom to go to something stimulating. But the problem is that your brain begins to entertain itself at night and you basically pass out of exhaustion. And so like when I say exhaustion, literally you're conk out, like there's no boredom, like your head hits the pillow and you're completely out. So if you begin to understand and think of the world like this, now what you do is, I work a lot with people, if you're having to go to bed early, it's not just put your phone down because you're going to find something else. The idea really is we've got to find something that's interesting enough to captivate your brain, but not so interesting that you don't surrender yourself to sleep. Dr. Roberto Olivardi, I absolutely love him. He's really good at articulating stuff. And the idea is your brain has to surrender itself to sleep. It's got to let go. And so if you've got anything that's stimulating to your brain, it's not going to let go because it doesn't want to. So when you understand this and you go about coaching people this way, now I'm looking for that activity that, again, it's like a post-it note, sticky enough to stick to the wall, but not too sticky where it takes the paint off. So when I'm working with people, we'll start to like, okay, let's search for those things that capture your interest. And so these are just examples. Like, I've had a fair amount of luck with adult coloring books. Now, when I say I'm having luck, that's like 15%. If I've got anything that works 10, 15% of the time, that's huge because we're all different. But that, I've had people before where they play solitaire, not on a computer, but they do it with, they play the cards, and if they lose, they cheat. Other people, they turn off all lights in the house and they put like a miner's light on and they do busy things in the house like dishes or carpet. And it's the movement and the repetition that they're doing. And so they're getting things done in a completely dark environment and it just kind of slows them down. Other people doodling. I've had people before that they listen to a podcast that they've heard like a lot of times, like one guy in particular, he's probably listened to podcasts thousands of times, but he puts it on. So it's interesting to him, but he's heard it and he turns the volume down. So he has to strain to listen to it. And so that straining, he'll just kind of conk off. Or what I do is I watch sitcoms at night for like 30 minutes before I'm going to sleep. It's something.
Me too. Seinfeld is our best friend.
Yeah. So, but going back to the boredom issue is if you begin to understand the ADHD brain is physically uncomfortable, and you begin to understand that and like take a look at areas like sleep and go, well, the idea is I got to manage the boredom. It just gives you a different perspective and a way to go out and problem solve. Or I remember this one guy I was coaching. He came back from Thanksgiving. He was Italian. You know, there's big Italian dinners, I guess. He'd spend like 4 hours, and he came back and he was like, I don't remember what happened, but there was a huge fight. And he said, like, you know, every time this happens, I either get too drunk or a fight starts happening. And he usually doesn't remember what the fight was about. So he's getting ready to go for Christmas. And I'm like, okay, so we've got to manage this somehow because you're bored. And the guy likes Sudoku. So he brought this little electronic Sudoku game, and he's sitting down with everybody, and he starts playing this, and his parents start giving him a hard time for this. And he's like, well, no, I got my coach. This is an experiment that we're running. And it was to his, he was sitting there doing this, and he was kind of tuning out to the conversation. But every once in a while, we'd come on a topic, and he would actually talk about it. And then we got bored, and he was just kind of doing this. It was interesting to him how over 4 hours he was actually more engaged. But he said, it's the first time I was ever with my family, and there wasn't a fight, or I didn't get too drunk.
Wow. Right?
So the idea is we identified this was a boring time, and he brought something to occupy his mind so that he wasn't uncomfortable as a means to manage that environment. But again, it's a different view that gets different answers.
Oh, I love that, because you're flipping a lot of things on the head right now. My husband and I, before we go to bed, you know, to calm down, we'll watch some show, right? But very often, not when we're in bed. We're doing other things. We're on our phone, we're on our computer, whatever, because the show is just not exciting enough for us. So we need to, we both have ADHD. We both need to do something that captures our attention. Unfortunately, we don't have the energy to like have deep, meaningful conversations at that point because we're exhausted.
Yep.
So we're doing, you know, different things, as you mentioned. So I really like that. It's not that we're not spending quality time together. It's just our brain is running in a million different directions and we're seeking something that's interesting. And then when we go to bed, again, at that point, we really enjoy Seinfeld. So it takes us about like 10, 15 minutes. My husband's conked out. And then I finish the episode, turn it off, and usually we're good to go. So I totally relate to what you're saying.
And the idea here is if you understand the boredom and you're sitting there actively looking for those things that, again, engage your attention enough, but not too much to surrender yourself. And you put those, it's kind of like, you know, like I'm coming in for the landing, right? I'm coming in, I'm engaging this activity for my brain to kind of slow down and surrender itself to sleep. And you're looking for those activities and you do them intentionally, that I found a lot of luck trying to get that done. Or, you know, just daily activities like folding laundry is repetitive and boring. And like when I'm talking to people with boredom, either if you have something that's boring, like do you really is your life impaired if you don't do it? Like, let's just not do it, or automate it or delegate it. Or then the next one is you got to reduce the number of steps. Like for me, I have a dish dryer. You'd call it a dishwasher, but I pretty much clean the dishes before they go in. But they come out dry and I put them on the counter. If I didn't have the dish dryer, they would pile up because there's too many steps to that. You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
The other area is if you have something that you can't reduce the steps, that's really, really boring. By the way, people, exercise is a repetitive, boring task, period. End of sentence. I used to swim for 4 hours a day. I was internationally ranked swimmer. I'm telling you right now, since
it is so boring.
I've had exercise partners the entire time. You got to do something. So if you'll, like back in the 70s and 80s when I was going, there was no personal trainers. There was none of that. There's there. Now they're all over the place. They're basically, think of it, it's not accountability. It's just social. It's more interesting. So you got to watch a TV or a podcast. And so I'll exercise every once in a while by myself. But for me, it's more of a social event, or I'm very competitive. I'm paying attention to beating the crap out of whoever's next to me. And so when you begin to like manage that and acknowledge you're never going to do anything that's that boring. You have to make that adjustment. It changes the way you go about problem solving for things.
Right. It's not that you can't do something. It's not that you're lazy. It's not that you're, you know, not good enough. It's just that you get bored easily because you're underwhelmed. Your brain is trying to regulate. So I love that.
And think of it, I'm saying the same thing that you are in a different way that is helpful. Boredom takes enormous amount of cognitive energy to sustain focus on something that's not stimulating. And again, if I can sit there and say it's exceptionally effortful because you're really like the willpower. And so if you begin to understand that it's physically uncomfortable for you and acknowledge that and then problem solve for it, again, you can get lots of different solutions. Like even today, I'm talking about how I coach people around sleep. It's not mainstream, but I've had a lot of success with it because I'm trying to focus on managing the boredom, not just trying to get to bedroom.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, all of this, because so many people are not diagnosed at a younger age with ADHD, especially women, we know that. And the thing that I hear from people who don't understand that they have ADHD or don't understand their ADHD brain is, yeah, I'm just bored. But when I'm not bored, I can pay attention. So, you know, if something's interesting to me, I'll pay attention. If something's not interesting to me, I don't pay attention. And I feel like based on our conversation here, that that could be a key indicator that if you're getting bored more so than most, your brain is understimulated and yep. it's looking for dopamine. And that is a key sign that you might have ADHD.
Yep. If you begin to tap into your body, like if you can learn to listen to your body, you will feel like you're pacing the cage. Like you'll feel that discomfort and know that you're bored. And if you really tune in, you'll feel that like an urge is your desire to get like comfortable. Like most people don't realize is everything you do is based off of an urge. Like at night, like have you ever switched positions? Yeah, you do that. Why? Because you have an urge to get comfortable. You were in a position and now it's uncomfortable. You've shifted to that for the urge to get comfortable. When you're bored, you'll feel that urge and it's really difficult to override it because you're physically uncomfortable and you're going to do anything to get comfortable again. And that is a very strong, like to sit there and think about it and pay attention to yourself is like, wow, this really is difficult. And just to use willpower to override that is just a crazy idea because you can't do that the rest of your life.
Right. It's like you're trapped within your own skin and you're looking yes. to get out of it. And for those people who are on Facebook Marketplace, like myself, are craving to get out of your house, it's because you're understimulated, right? You have to be constantly stimulated. Yep. So it's not because you want to buy a million things. You probably don't buy things from Facebook Marketplace or Amazon, but you're looking. You're constantly looking. That's you chasing the dopamine. Like you said, yeah. Jeff, thank you.
And yeah. what happened during the pandemic is everybody was sent home into a less stimulating environment. So everybody was bored. And so everybody got on and developed their own vices. And it's funny because I had somebody that said, you know, they can't even watch a sitcom anymore. They're down to 4 or 5 seconds because the more you condition yourself to solve the boredom problem, the deeper you go, which is actually, if you are bored, you have a lower life expectancy. The things that are interesting, though, is if you are void of short-term boredom, you will have more long-term boredom. Like at some level, when everything's stimulating, nothing becomes stimulating anymore. There was a guy that I was coaching that was doing some heavy drugs for a really long period of time. He says, I don't even know why I haven't died a couple of times, but he literally got bored of the drug at one point in time. And I have people on my YouTube channel that are like, you know, I can't watch, this is a 4-minute video. They can't do that. And they're not doing anything. And I'm like, because nothing can compare to YouTube. So at some level you have become so anti-bored that you require higher levels of dopamine. And the idea is sometimes it's actually good in small doses to practice being boredom, not saying I'm going to be bored, but go inside your head and learn like to find things that you can do that are stimulating that are not those types of things. So just being bored by itself isn't there, but putting yourself in a situation and saying, okay, I'm a little bored. Like, what am I going to occupy my mind with right now that's not negative is actually kind of helpful. Now, what I said is it's a little bit more complicated than that because you have to be more willful for it. But the idea really is on the other side of it, people are resisting boredom now 100% and they're getting so addicted to whatever is stimulating to them that their tolerance is shrinking and actually creating other problems in their environment. Because once you get to, you're never bored, everything is boring compared to what you're doing.
Right. And that's why so many people think they have ADHD, but Dr. Halliwell talks about how it's vast, right? So it's like everyone has the attention span of a goldfish at this point. And that's why YouTube videos, if you look at Mr. Beast, he's so successful for many reasons, but he also, his clips are so short. He never has one screen of a clip for like more than 5 seconds. So I'm sure people would love to know, including myself, how do you get comfortable with the boredom? So not everything has to be stimulating.
There's no way around this other than self-awareness. Like a lot of people, you know, the shovel doesn't actually do the digging. The tip, trick, or strategy doesn't actually do the work. This is one of those where it's all about self-awareness and managing your environment and yourself. What you do depends on your individual stuff. But I'm grateful to come on to talk about boredom because people talk about what they're interested in, but they're not always trying to solve for the boredom problem. Like, again, I've had people before that I just coached a guy one time who's masturbating for 5 hours a day. I don't know how you do that. But basically, the idea was he was so miserable in his work environment. Once we resolved that particular issue, he wasn't escaping to that stuff all the time.
Gotcha.
So when I'm looking at something like that, sometimes I'm looking at they're escaping from something else. It's not just a matter of stop doing that. It's about how do I solve the boredom problem and this will take care of itself. Make sense?
Yep. That's perfect. I love that. So having that deeper awareness and maybe talking it out with a coach who is mirroring what you're saying to find out what the other areas of your life are right now. So it's usually not what you think it is. It's something else that's causing it.
Yep. And you and I were having a conversation, I don't remember when, about like job and, you know, if you have a job and it's difficult and, you know, if you have a job where like more than 25% is ADD unfriendly or really, really, really boring, you're going to have a really hard time staying in that job. Because you're going to be physically uncomfortable and you're going to do anything to escape, which is going to create problems, not show up, et cetera. And so sometimes going to a coach or something like that, sometimes they give you permission. Yeah, your condition is what it is. You are bored. You can try harder, but maybe we should try to find something that you're going to do. Like a lot of times people with ADHD, they're addicted to learning. They really need to find a job where learning's built into it.
Yep. And that's why we're in the teaching profession very often or the helping profession.
Exactly. So anyway, the idea is to come on and talk about boredom. It's kind of like an elephant in the room. And hopefully I've been able to illuminate some things where people go, wow, I didn't look at it like this. It's the opposite side of interest or dopamine. But if you begin to flip over, sometimes you can solve a problem by just going about it a little bit differently. So in other words, going to bed, like I got to solve for the boredom problem. I got to find something that's stimulating, not just say, I've got to put the phone down. It's you get to the end, but it's a different path.
Totally. Right. Well, I appreciate this insightful conversation on boredom. And for those of you listening, I am sure you picked up some sort of insight from our conversation today with Jeff. And Jeff, those people listening right now, where can they find you?
Digcoaching.com. That's D-I-G, like dig a hole, coaching.com. You go there. There's some links. You can find my podcast, my YouTube channel. Archives. You can see interviews that I've done with Brooke and other interviews Brooke's done with me. All that stuff is all there. It's the best place to go.
Awesome. Thank you again for being unsuccessful with ADHD. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Successful with ADHD. I hope it helped you on your journey. And if you need any additional support for you or a loved one with ADHD, feel free to reach out to us at coachingwithbrooke.com and all social media platforms at Coaching with Brooke. And remember, it's Brooke with an E. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.